Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. Now, I want to start with a little story today. Have you heard about the man who moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life there? It wasn't long until he'd made a number of friends among the other residents, and there was one lady in particular that he became especially attached to. And she was attracted to him as well. So they spent a lot of time together. And finally, one evening, he proposed, asking her to marry him. And the next morning, he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and said, "You know, I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." And she looks at him and says, "Oh, thank goodness," she replied. "I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me." And sometimes that's how I feel about New Year's resolutions. I tell myself, this year I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to exercise regularly and lose weight. I'm going to do all sorts of things for myself physically and spiritually. And then somehow I forget. And maybe you guys have that problem as well. So this being the first Sunday of the new year, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. And you know, when you think about it, New Year's resolutions basically fall into three categories. There's things to make us look better and live longer. There's things that help us have more, kind of prosperity, if you will. And things that help us to get along with other people, to get along with everyone. And you can think about them as longevity, prosperity, and peace. And so I've often heard that we can find an answer in God's word for any question or situation. So I took it upon myself to look up and said, where in the Bible does it talk about New Year's resolutions? And they're not exactly called New Year's resolutions, per se, but I don't think we could find anything better than Proverbs chapter 3, which we just read. So we're going to go through Proverbs chapter 3 if you want to have it open with me. Now, the first time I read this, I'm going to leave out a few words here and there, and we'll just see the benefit of adopting this set of New Year's resolutions. Starting in verse 1, and I'm going to skip through some of the words here. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." So we already have two, longevity and prosperity. "You will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. He will direct your paths, will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. You will not be afraid when you lie down. Your sleep will be sweet. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared." It's a pretty good set of outcomes for those resolutions, I'd say. So Solomon starts off chapter 3 with this very matter-of-fact statement. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." And so then he goes on with these 10 specific precepts, principles, New Year's resolutions, whatever you'd like to call them, that we should live by in order to have long life, prosperity, and peace. And some of these are rather simple. In fact, most of them are really simple to talk about. But when it comes to putting them into practice, it becomes notoriously more difficult. So let's start. Resolution number 1, let love and faithfulness never leave you, from verse 3 and 4. Verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Resolution 2. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Reading from verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Resolution 3. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It even rhymes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Resolution 4. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Resolution 5. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those who he loves as a father the son he delights in. Resolution 6. Search diligently for wisdom and find it. This one's a little long. This is verse 13 through 24. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Resolution 7, have no fear. This is from verse 25. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being snared. Resolution 8. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. From verse 27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you have it now with you. When you have it with you. Resolution 9, do not plot harm against your neighbors. From verse 29, do not plot harm against your neighbors who live trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Resolution 10, do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. From verse 31, do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. Now, the real question after going through all 10 of those is, can you remember them? And I don't have them memorized, and I'm the one who wrote the exhortation. And so it brings me to my next point, is that it's incredibly important to focus. And let's take an example from a lion tamer. Does anyone know what the most important piece of equipment for a lion tamer is? So the lion tamer has the whip, he has the Kevlar vest nowadays, he has the lions. It's none of those. Ironically, the most important piece of equipment that a lion tamer has is the stool that's next to him. And often you'll see him, he holds it, right? He holds it up. And the question is why? Why is that the most important piece of equipment? Well, he points the legs of the stool at the lions because it's been discovered that it confuses them. So when a lion wants to pounce, he has to focus in on a very specific element, right? So he's looking at the lion tamer's legs thinking, hey, those look yummy. And when you put the stool up there, the lion becomes confused because he sees other points of interest that look kind of like legs. And so the lion becomes distracted, it gets paralyzed, and is then tame, if you will, in a sense. And so the analogy for us is, in our modern, loud, 24/7 world, it's incredibly easy for us to be distracted and without a clear focus. We become slave to the next text message, to the next email, to the next phone call, the next news article about something happening. They all demand our immediate attention. They all call out to us. And sometimes we become incapacitated with all the distraction and we lose our focus. And I think that's a lot of the reason New Year's resolutions typically don't work is we make a resolution, but then through the course of the year, we become distracted, and sometimes even forget what the resolution was that we started with. And we're not the only ones that this has happened to. right? We're not alone in this struggle. Let's take the example of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We all know this story, but I'll read these verses because it's important. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now notice, Jesus didn't tell Martha to stop serving, to stop her service, but says, "you are worried and upset, and a few things are needed." And this is the chapter after he had fed 5,000 people with two loaves and fishes. And Martha was being distracted by the preparations. Another example that I found powerful, in Luke chapter 9, so one chapter earlier, verse 46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest." And again, even the disciples were distracted by figuring out what positions of authority they'd have once the kingdom came. And I ask you, how many times have you ended a full year and realized that you didn't actually accomplish any of your New Year's resolutions? Or even worse, can you even remember what your New Year's resolutions were at the beginning, from the beginning of the year? And so my challenge to you today is to take only one of the possible resolutions from Proverbs 3. We had 10 there. You could probably pull out a couple more if you wanted, if you didn't like those, you know, one of those 10. My challenge is that you take one of those possible resolutions and prayerfully resolve to follow it in 2014. Pick one and then have a clearer idea of what you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't pick one, I would expect to be dominated by distraction, living in a reactive fashion, if you will, reacting to everything from your family to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, basically having to react to the chaos around us. And so at the end of 2014, if our Lord hasn't returned, you'll look back on the year and wonder, what did I really accomplish? And so don't be that distracted lion. Understand which are the real legs and which are the table legs or the stool legs. So let's look at an example of our Lord Jesus in John 17. So this is John 17. Jesus says, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Now, what did Jesus mean by this? He hadn't healed everyone. There were still a lot of sick people. He hadn't preached to everyone. He never made it into China or India, right? There was a whole rest of the world that could have been preached to. And he certainly hadn't converted everyone. There was a lot of people that didn't want to hear the word. And in just a little while, he'd be arrested, tried, convicted, and then sentenced to death. And then most of his followers would abandon him. They would run away. And he was only in his early 30s. So in the eyes of the world, he hadn't accomplished many things that would be considered great. But he had accomplished what was most important, the one thing God expected him to do. He brought glory on earth by completing the work that God had given him, that God gave him. And so what about you? Will you be able to say that next December? Will we be able to truthfully say, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do"? Let's read together from Ecclesiastes 3. And I have these printed out so I get there faster. "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This is the time. Let's renew our dedication, set our resolution, and complete the work that God has given us.